Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, December 24th, 2009. Yes, it's Christmas Eve, folks. It is now about 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight, Central Standard Time, excuse me, in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or send your email to us anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And folks, we do appreciate your email. And we will work a program around your email. Please, comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. sutton-associates.net. In his biweekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contrarinvestorscafe.com. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. It is Christmas Eve. We decided to do a program anyway. It's going to be a half hour, and it's going to be early in the morning, so we figured we might as well do it to be consistent and to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, whatever holiday is for you, you know, fine. If you just believe in Santa Claus, that's fine. That's great. Happy Santa Claus holiday. We really get wrapped up. Don't we now in this, well, he said, have a nice Christmas season rather than have a holiday, or he said happy holidays and not Merry Christmas, and all this stuff. Folks, I just want to make one mention. This has nothing to do with our program tonight. That about drives me nuts like everything else does. You know, there really are two Christmases, and whether we want to recognize it or not. Now, it started being a religious holiday, and then we turned that religious holiday, and boy, we commercialized the heck out of it. We did a great job. It's probably the biggest holiday of the year for us, and we made it a very secular holiday. So there is a religious holiday, and there's a secular holiday, and I treat them totally separately. If you have the religious persuasion and you want to celebrate this time of year as the birth of Christ, your Lord and Savior, that's fine and that's wonderful. I applaud you for that. And please be true to your religion and be faithful to its tenets. That's all I ask you to do. If you're going to do one, do it all. Don't be half about it. Now, but if you're not, and it's a time for giving, it's just a holiday, just like any other holiday, a non-religious, secular holiday. Just enjoy the holiday for what it is. And there's nothing wrong with saying Merry Christmas. Now, I know Christmas has the religious connotation, but that's the way it evolved. And, you know, we can say have a nice gift-giving, cheerful holiday or whatever, you know, whatever you want to say. But we say Merry Christmas. Now, we don't say Happy Hanukkah. We just don't, because it's the minority here. And I think Lewis Black did it perfectly one time in one of his skits, which I thought he was one of the best. He is one of the best comedians that exists today. And he said, Christmas, you get all sorts of gifts, big meals, family, fun, you know, everything, you know, toys. And he says, what do you get at Hanukkah? He says, you get a new pencil and eraser for school, you know. And it's sort of right, but he makes jokes about that, but he's sort of right, correct, in that, you know, Christmas is really a time where it is a secular holiday, but we call it the same name, Christmas versus, you know, the birth of Christ, Christmas, and the whole bit. I understand that. But I just want to get that off my mind. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holiday, whatever floats your boat, fine with me. I'm with you all the way. I have my wife with me this morning. She's helping me out. I asked her to do so because I do need help, you know that. But also, I've had a very bad case of acid reflux, and I don't know where it came from. It just cropped up, and it affected my voice, so I cannot speak that much. So I asked, could you come in here and sort of take over a little bit for me? I'll just throw things out, maybe if you can comment and give my voice a little bit of a reprieve for a while. And she graciously said yes. Well, good morning, dear.
Good morning, dear.
I'm going to be watched very carefully this morning. You know that, folks. My wife, her name is Erin. She's a really wonderful. We've been together for a long time, and she's my support and my life. I'll be very honest with you. Anyone who knows us knows the relationship that we have, and it's wonderful. And my life is wonderful because of her. And I'm not getting mushy. I'm just being very, very honest with you. We have a very, very wonderful, wonderful relationship. At least I feel so. And she tells me she feels so. And we still act like teenagers. I guess we both never grew up. Is that right, honey?
I guess that's true. It's wonderful that it is that way, too.
Yeah. Well, you do feel the same way, then.
I guess so.
Okay. All right. Maybe I'll get beat up after the program, but at least she's saying it on the air. All righty. Okay. Well, thanks for being here. I know today you wanted to catch up on some sleep because you've been working very, very hard, you know, with your audiology practice, trying to wrap things up for the holidays. And I asked you to get up because my throat wasn't feeling too well. So thank you for being here.
No problem,
hon. Okay. Well, what we wanted to talk about this morning was the anger and the frustration and the misunderstanding that people have. And it's not coming to a boiling point yet. We like to say that, but it's really not there yet. But people really are angry, and they're frustrated, and they're confused. Do you agree with that, hon? Do you?
In general, just
yes.
The American public? Oh, sure. And
yeah.
there are lots of issues. There are lots of reasons, I think, that individual people are feeling that way, and some are beginning to express some of their frustrations, I think. Go ahead.
Well, when you say that, could you tell us a little bit more about that? When you say, what leads you to that conclusion? You have any specifics for us?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern about, for example, the health bill, the initiative that is currently making its way through the Capitol Hill. And I think a lot of people are concerned that although this may provide some benefit to people who otherwise wouldn't have health insurance, for those that currently do have health insurance, it may represent, you know, a costlier way for them to have their health insurance. And I understand they're talking about taxing insurance. Now, that concept is, I haven't got that down. I'm not sure what they're talking about taxing. Taxing the benefits? Well, that's going to be a pretty pricey tax bill, I would guess. So I think people are concerned about that.
Okay. I agree. I think people are somewhat like the stock market. The stock market abhors uncertainty. And here we have a health bill, and what they do is they call it a health reform, but no one's read it, so how do you know it's reform? You know, so we're stuck. We're stuck with all of this uncertainty about health care. We don't know what's going to happen. No one knows. And even those clowns in the circus called Washington, D.C., they've never read it. But I tell you, they're going to benefit. You think they're not going to benefit by this, hon?
Oh, I don't know. I don't mean to say that at all. I'm sure that they will. I'm sure that there have to be special interests somewhere that haven't been elucidated very well that are going to be benefiting from it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way I look at this whole frustration thing with the American public and where it stems from, and I want to get to the core of it, is that people innately are anarchist. I know that sounds crazy, and I did a program on this once. You know, people really are anarchist. I don't care if you think you're a socialist or communist, you're an anarchist. And you say, well, what do I mean by that? People are anarchists, because that conjures up images of people in the street just willy-nilly doing what they want, hitting, killing people, stealing, breaking windows, I mean, rioting, I mean, just total havoc, no organization whatsoever, no one controlling anybody, everyone's going like bananas, you know? And that's the image we have of anarchy. Well, all anarchy is people want to be left alone. Do you believe it? Do you subscribe to that? That generally speaking, all people, no matter what their political persuasion is, really want to be left alone?
Yeah, I would think so. I think independence is a lot of the bottom line that people are seeking, freedom and independence.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Independence. You know, so as dependent as people are with the government, they want to be independent. They want to be special. They want to be, you know, they don't want to be part of the herd. I mean, they want to be special. And you know how you know that? You know that when people go shopping, does everyone want to wear the same thing everybody else is wearing, or they want to look cool or different? Answer that question for me, hon.
Well, they want to look sort of the same so that they're part of the group.
Yeah, they want to belong,
part of the
right.
clique, part of the herd, whatever. But they still want to be individualistic about it. That's why people wear tattoos, but everybody doesn't wear the same tattoo.
Right, exactly. Tattoos is an excellent example. I mean, that is a form of anarchy. They're saying that, look what I do. I'm expressing who I am, and I'm not you. But people innately are, in fact, anarchists. Anarchism all says that, I want to be left alone. I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want to steal, kill, or anything. I don't want to do all those bad things that conjure into the thoughts that conjure up into your mind about anarchy. I want to be left alone. But at the same time, they think that by going to the government and the government fooling them or giving them the right words, saying the right words, to give the impression that they are going to get something for nothing, and at the same time, preserve their sense of anarchy, you know, is crazy. It's not going to happen. And they don't realize, some people are just too lazy to realize that once you give up something to the government, you give up your autonomy. And without autonomy, you have no sense of self. If you have no sense of self, you have no sense of being, and you cannot be fulfilled. Now, once you get to that position, and then you realize that someone else is calling the shots, and you are not, you're not calling the shots yourself, you've lost this sense of anarchy inside of you, there's a sense of frustration. And that frustration is born from the fact that when the government doles out money, you see people getting things that you're not getting, and then you want to know, why aren't I getting it? I'm the one that's working, and I'm giving it to the government. The government's getting fat. They have all these bureaucracies at them, and then the little that's left over, they give to somebody else, and you have no control over that. So you lose your sense of autonomy. Once people lose their sense of autonomy, I mean, people get desperate. They even commit suicide. Now, no one has a perfect sense of autonomy. I wish I did. I mean, I know I don't. But I do think about it. I think about it to the point where I want to make certain that I do develop a sense of self. Who am I? What do I represent? Is this me? You know, am I entitled to do this? Am I doing something that really infringes on someone else's autonomy? That's what I want to know. Now, once you get to that point, once you start thinking along those lines, then you no longer are frustrated worrying about the government, because you know you're getting screwed. You know that, and there's nothing you can do about it. This will continue going until people take to the streets. And once the people take to the streets, then it's over. The whole ball game is over. Then we really have anarchy. But this is what the government's doing. The government is pushing us to an anarchy situation, and that really, really bothers me, because everyone seems to be angry. But they're angry for all different reasons. There's no one person, no two people, that are angry for exactly the same reason. Because they're all individuals, and individuals, no two individuals are alike. No two individuals will think the same. No two individuals have the exact same needs, I mean exactly in the same manner. And they'll all perceive things differently. Now, you just heard me rant. What do you think of that, huh?
Well, before I comment on that, I think you have to do a station identification.
You know, I need her just for station identification because I always forget that. Thank you very much. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. It's Christmas Eve. We have no callers, but please call in 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Your email to us is comments@libertytalkradio.com, and let us hear from you. comments@libertytalkradio.com. I know it's Christmas Eve. Even if you want to talk about something that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, please call in to 646-652-4620. I'm your host for Liberty Talk Radio, Joe Cristiano, and my lovely wife is here with me, Erin. And we're talking about the tremendous frustration that's built up in the populace today. Even when the government is, it's perceived that the government is doing something right. And would you like to add some words to that, or you have your own opinion of that?
Well, I think people have, I mean, the vast majority of Americans that don't really do much politically do have sort of a pent-up concern and worry and perhaps anger about what's going on in our government today. However, there are also a few people that do have the a little bit more, I don't know, I would say perhaps political savvy. Few people are able to comment on the airwaves or in the media about what's going on. And we who don't do much tend to identify with certain of those individuals, which is wonderful because it does give us an outlet. It gives us a person with whom we can empathize about their expression of the anger and concern that we all feel. Unfortunately, we still have this great mass of Americans that I don't think has reached the tipping point yet, at which time they might actually,
You're right. You know, in Mexico, there is it's well known that Mexico has a very, very large peasant population that's incredibly poor. Now, you say, well, why don't they revolt? Well, that's because the government gives them enough food for subsistence. In other words, it provides them with the beans and rice or whatever they need to eat. So they are dependent on the government. Now, you don't want to riot against the person who's feeding you. And now, we are following the same course. You know, we continue to increase the number of people that are dependent on the government. Well, if everyone's dependent on the government, who's going to riot? Because you're going to lose, basically, it's like disagreeing with your boss, you're going to lose your job. And so the more dependent we become on government, the larger the number of the people come directly dependent on the government, well, directly or indirectly, then what happens is that we just continue going down that road. We continue want more and more and more. And anytime, you know, we need more, we go to the government for more, and the government's got to do, you know, take more in order. Eventually, this thing has got to, it's got to collapse under its own weight. But no one's looking at it that way. What really makes me laugh is when these clowns say that they're going back into committee to discuss some of the disagreements that they have or inconsistencies in the program, in the health program. Now, do you think these clowns, not one of them have read it. No one knows what really it says. I mean, they put on a great show. Someone gives them something to say, you know. But just think, 2,000 pages of medical stuff, you know, with all references to laws and other regulations. Do you think anyone read that? First of all, I don't even know who wrote it. It wasn't the clowns in Washington, because these idiots, you know, can't do that stuff. I mean, they're too stupid to do that stuff. They're just good con artists. So then the people, I know my progressive friends say, no, they have a staff that does that. Well, what kind of person would you hire? Say, I want you to write a medical bill, 2,000 pages. Maybe Harriet here, you know, she has a good high school education. She's sharp. She can do it. I mean, no one's capable of doing it. Absolutely no one. What I would love to see, and folks, mark this down, because this is so critical. I would love to see a program on how, really specifically, none of this government garbage, you know, specifically, how the health bill was written. Think about that. How was it written? I mean, from the very, very start, where did it come from? It just didn't appear 2,000 pages. Right, hon?
Oh, absolutely. I think, by the way, you get little comments, little slips, perhaps from some individuals on the media that that the bill was actually written by drug interests, by the drug companies. I'm sure it had to come from somewhere, and I don't know that staffs of the congressmen are totally responsible for writing all the content of a bill as large as that. By the way, can you just check that this microphone is on?
Yes.
It's on.
Yes, this, okay. Your microphone is on.
I don't hear it in my earphone. I don't hear myself in this earphone. Oh, now I do.
Oh, okay. All right, good. All right, we've just made a little adjustment, folks. Yeah, but just think, I want everyone to think. Yeah, hold on.
Turn it down a little.
Oh, now she says to turn it down. Uh-oh. See, it's always good to have a wife here. She can tell you exactly what to do. But really, I want people to think, and especially those progressives out there, say, where did it come from? Does someone start and say, and how do they start? Page one. Just think, how would you start? I mean, I know nothing about healthcare, you know, and very few people do. And do you hire someone who's so expert in healthcare they can sit down and write out 2,000 pages of regulation? I mean, I want to know exactly where it came from. I mean, when you start thinking about that, you start questioning the whole thing. Now, these clowns that went in there, they when they go to committee, they don't say, well, you know, we have to iron things out. What they're saying is, Bob, you don't vote for this, you know, we're going to close down that Army base. And, you know, if you want that highway, or you want the $700 million appropriation, you better vote for it. That's what they're going into committee for. They're not talking about health care because no one read it. No one understands it. And no one gives a damn. These people don't care. This is the problem. Is that we have a that they are giving us the show that they are so concerned and they wrote this word for word and they're so concerned about the wording of it and exactly that's all garbage. Those are bullet points. Someone gives them bullet points and they get up there and they put up the big show. You know, we are all being conned. Now, you want to know something? I don't know if this health care reform is even reform. And I hate the word use of reform. It's like saying this guy is good. Bob good. Well, you're assuming Bob is good all of a sudden. Well, you know, we haven't determined whether Bob is good. Well, we haven't determined whether this is really reform or if this just puts more money in the pharmaceutical pockets, in the senators' pockets, in the congressmen's pockets. If this increases the control of the government by the populace, we don't know what it's done.
In the insurance company,
right. We have no idea. Now, what this thing apparently, what they talk about, is they talk about supply, the demand. They talk about, well, now these people will be covered, and these people will be covered, and these people. Well, you can talk about the demand side all you want, because demand is insatiable. The problem that you have in the finite part of the bill, which you have no control over, is the supply. Who's going to supply this? They don't talk about the supply. How do you get people to do something that they don't want to do in the first place? And what do you do when you have more controls and the doctor says, well, you know, by me being a doctor, I am going to, in effect, you know, be a government employee. I don't think so, you know, and they walk out. I know more doctors, more nurses, people in the healthcare profession that are getting out. Now, when they get out, what's going to happen? You're going to have a shortage. Now, the only way to ensure that you correct a shortage is to increase the price of things. Increase the price of, you know, make it more lucrative for people to come in. Well, if they do that and the government's paying for it, that means they have to put more of a stranglehold on us. Folks, this smacks of being, forget about being socialistic, it's going to crush us. There's no way. Absolutely not a snowball chance in hell that this program is going to save us any money. In fact, it's going to cost us lives. And you know, I can come down, I can sense where we're going with this thing. I can just hear it now. Mr. Jones, I know you need a a heart operation or something like that, but that'll cost $20,000. And, you know, the government only has so much money to spend. Now, there's a child here who also needs a heart operation. You know, you're 66 years old, and you've had a good life. Do you really want this operation and sacrifice this young child? I can hear that coming. I can hear that logic coming, and we are so stupid, we'll say, well, that sort of makes sense. Well, why is he, you know, he's 66 years old. You know, let him live a couple more years, then he's going to die anyway, and we can save the child. That's the thinking that's coming. And that's what bothers me. We have lost our autonomy. We have lost our sense of self. We are frustrated because we don't know. We're like the stock market. We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the effects will be. We don't know how it's going to affect us, but we do have a good inclination that it ain't good. Erin, would you like to say a few parting words?
Well, I just hope that we in this country who typically don't stand up and make our thoughts known will at least take some opportunity to elucidate some of our feelings, so that people in the government have a feeling that the vast majority of Americans are really against this bill and the implication that it has for changing everyone's ability to be insured or self-insured, and the likelihood that it's going to simply cost the entire economy, the health care economy, so much that indeed it will collapse on its own weight.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you. Unfortunately, I think that even if we did, they wouldn't care. Every day I get, a half dozen emails that say, please write your congressman and tell him this. Write your congressman and tell him that. Well, the Constitution doesn't provide these clowns the authority to do anything. And unfortunately, everything that's going on, everything including health care, is unconstitutional. Enough said. Folks, have yourself a nice Christmas holiday, whatever holiday you consider it, religious or otherwise. Have a wonderful time. This is actually the end of today's broadcast, and I have a malfunction here. Here we go. I think we have a malfunction. We've been having more malfunctions lately.
That's a mouse malfunction.
I have my mouse is malfunctioning. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And I cannot get this thing to work now. Isn't that amazing? Uh-oh. We are in trouble. Here we go. Uh-oh. Let me see if I can get this thing going. We really have a malfunction here. We have a mouse malfunction. Here we go. All right. Boy, we got to fix this up. Okay, folks. Thanks. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch IQ Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government's like training wheels. They control the ride and your every move. Ron Paul has a sign that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, let's say that'll be Thursday the 31st. I guess that'll be New Year's Eve. We'll be broadcasting on two big holidays. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano with my wife, Erin. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well, stay tuned, and happy holidays.
one.